Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to FMG Live. I'm your host, John A. Guffey. It's a beautiful day here in North Carolina on this sunny Sunday afternoon. I want to thank everyone who's been following us on Twitter and on Facebook. Our Twitter handle is FMG Live, the number 2 and the letter U. You can always check that out to see what episodes are coming up. And if you go back in our feed, you can see past episodes and links to those past episodes so that you can enjoy those. We've got a lot of archive. All of our episodes are archived, and so we have those available to you to listen to. And so please join us on social media so that you can find out what's coming up. And I want to give a special shout out for next week's episode, because we are going to be conducting this week a very special interview with a young man named Aaron Smith, who is a missionary in the area of Kosovo. That's in Eastern Europe in the Balkan region. And he was called to go to that region, and he has been doing the Lord's work there, bringing music and the Word of God to a predominantly Muslim area. And he has just done a lot of wonderful and amazing things and been able to reach out and do some good things in that area. And we're going to actually I'll be taping an interview with him due to the time zone issues and the reliability of electricity and internet and things of that nature. We're going to tape an interview with him this week, and we're going to have that for you next week. And I may even talk him into a two-parter. I'm not sure. So be listening for that next week and be looking forward to that show coming up. But tonight I wanted to talk to you. The Lord laid on my heart a message about our chains, about breaking of chains. You know, we as Christians love that image. We use that image a lot. We talk about that image a lot. We speak of it in terms of addictions. And we speak of it in terms of just flat-out sins. And Jesus comes along and he breaks our chains. There is no doubt about that. He does that for us whenever we ask him into our hearts. He breaks the chains of sin. And when we achieve salvation, our chains, our bondage to sin is broken. In fact, in Psalm 107, verse 16, it says, "For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder." And up above, he says in verse 13, he says, "They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses." Verse 14, "He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bonds, their chains, asunder." So it's very clear that Christ comes along, and through his saving grace and through God's mercy, our chains to sin, our binding to sin, which is there from birth. We're born with what's called original sin because of Adam, because Adam sinned in the garden and was cast out. Man is in a sinful flesh state from the time of our birth. And once we become aware of right and wrong, we are accountable for our sins. And we are set upon at that very moment by the devil and by the enemy to keep us in that fleshly state, in that state of bondage to sin. Now, all of us have pet sins. There are certain sins that affect us more than they might affect somebody else. And those are particular chains that we put on. But one of the problems, and I'm really going to speak to Christians tonight. You see, one of the problems that we as Christians have, once we accept Christ as our Savior, and once we turn over these sins to Him, sometimes we accept Christ as our Savior, we realize we have these pet sins, and later on we have to come back to Him and say, Lord, I really need to turn this over to You and let You have it. And I there are wonderful stories and witnesses out there, just inspiring witnesses of folks who have, you know, turned their life over to God, and addictions have been completely broken, sins that have been turned away. And those are amazing stories of faith that I appreciate. But it doesn't always happen that way. A lot of times what happens is we let Jesus break our chains and they fall through our feet. And there they are. And then we're all happy and we're excited. And then a little time passes and things start getting a little scary. And we go right back to those chains and we put them back on. Because of our familiarity with the flesh and with sin, we keep putting these chains back on. We're like prisoners who, when they're released from prison, don't know how to deal with the outside world, so they commit a crime so they can go back into prison where they're familiar, where they're comfortable, where they're within their comfort zone. Even though it's prison, they're within their comfort zone. And that's one of the things that we do. Slaves were not regularly chained. If you have slaves, it's hard for them to do their work if they're all chained up. So slaves would not regularly be chained, but they stayed in bondage because of the consequences of leaving. They feared the consequences and feared the unknown. Well, what were the consequences? They could be beaten. They could be flogged. They could be denied food or water. They could be denied shelter. They could even be killed. What were they fearing when they feared the unknown? How would they get along? Who would provide for them? Would they be alone? So the slave, he stayed in his bondage, not because he was physically attached to it, but because he was mentally attached to it. He was afraid of the consequences that would occur. And we as Christians, sometimes we allow ourselves to be tricked with the lie that, oh, if you leave your sin, if you stop doing this sin, there's going to be consequences. You're going into unknown territory, buddy. It's very comfortable here in this sin. You know where you're at. You know what you're doing. Yeah, it's not the right thing to do. But hey, leaving sin is difficult. Stay in your comfort zone. What happens? We fear the consequences, losing friends, being forced outside the social circles that we may be in because of our sins, being denied pleasure. We fear the unknown. How will I make money? Because maybe you're making money, and it's not you're not doing it in quite the right way, or you're not doing it in an honest way. How will I be alone if I leave this love affair? How will I cope without sex or drugs or alcohol? The whatever it is you've been using as a distraction, as a coping mechanism for life. Because a lot of times that's what our sins are. Sins are nothing more than easy, convenient coping mechanisms for life. Life gets hard. And folks, life is hard. Just because we become Christians doesn't mean that life suddenly is all a bed of roses. Just because we become Christians, God doesn't automatically the world doesn't automatically change and roses pop up in your yard and green grass and a white picket fence and everything's calm and normal. The longer you walk with Christ and the more you walk with Christ, the deeper you get into that walk that we're going to talk about in just a second, the more the enemy is going to attack you because he's going to be afraid of you. You see, the more powerful you become as a Christian, the more feared you are by the enemy. And what does the enemy do with people that he's afraid of? He attacks them. So you're going to be attacked. There's nothing that says that you're going to be left alone once you become a Christian. But the beautiful and wonderful and amazing thing is when those things occur, instead of being alone like we were when we were out of our relationship with God, instead of being alone where sin was the only way we could cope, we're with the Master. We're with the Captain. We're with God Almighty, who's going to help us through that particular attack, through that particular storm. So what happens when we become afraid? You know, we get worried about the unknown, the will I get caught, the what will my church friends think of me? And, you know, that's a big one. If I come clean on this sin that I'm doing, what's everyone going to think of me? They thought that I was a straight arrow guy. They thought that I was a stand-up guy. They thought that I was a good Christian, came to church every Sunday, paid my tithes, volunteered. They didn't know that I was doing this thing. What will they think? And just, I'm going to go off on a little tangent here, Christians. You know, I heard it said this week that the Christian army, the army of believers, the army of Christian soldiers, is the only army in the world that shoots its wounded. And that's very true. We, as a church society, have a great deal of judgment and a decided lack of forgiveness. And that's wrong. There is no one who is above sinning. We are all sinners. We stay sinners. We are saved only by Jesus' grace, only by God's grace. It is only by the covering of Jesus Christ that we are allowed into heaven. It is through no effort of our own. Once we are saved, we continue to sin. Paul said, I die daily. He meant that he sinned daily. So none of us is perfect. No, not one, except Jesus Christ. So, and just want to say, uncategorically, you have no right or ability or qualification to judge, measure, approve or disapprove, evaluate or compare someone else's salvation, the state of someone else's soul. Now, I realize that people will be known by their works, and that is absolutely true. The fruit that they bear will tell you what kind of tree it is. That is biblical, and that is definitely true. But at the same time, you don't know what's going on in that person's life. You don't know what's going on in their heart. You don't know what struggle they are having. So when you come along and you say to yourself, whoa, brother so-and-so, he had to go into rehab? Holy cow, I didn't even know he used drugs. Or, whoa, brother so-and-so was having an affair? I didn't know that. I'm shocked. Well, I hope I don't see him at the men's meeting. Or I hope I don't see him at the men's breakfast. Or sister so-and-so, she was sleeping with who? Oh, my gosh. And she has the audacity to show up on Sunday? Let me tell you something, people. Church is the place for sinners. There should be a sign above every church in this country that says sinners only. Because that, Jesus said, who needs a doctor except the sick? we have become a nation and a church. A lot of churches out there have become judgmental churches who want to say, oh, we are holier than thou. And if you want to come in and clean up your act the first time, that's great. We're going to celebrate that and welcome you. But after that, you better toe the line, and you better not falter, and you better not stumble, and you better not fail. Because if you do, we're going to be like sharks in a feeding frenzy, and we're going to rip you to pieces, and you'll never be welcome inside our house again. Well, let me tell you something. It's not your house. It's the Lord's house. And the Lord welcomes every penitent sinner. He desires every sinner, whether they're saved or not. And there's a lot of people that need to disregard the mote, that's the mite, the tiny speck in the eye of their neighbor, and take care of the camel that's in their own eye. So, and we need to quit shooting our wounded. Our churches need to be a place of healing. One of the things I like to say is that, you know, we talk about people who are hurting and people who are broken. And I like to define them in this way. Sinners are broken. Their relationship with God is broken. And it needs to be repaired. It needs to be fixed. So we need to help guide them and show them how to fix that relationship. Lead them back to the Lord so that their relationship is restored. But Christians, people who are saved, they are hurting. And they need healing. They don't need your judgment. They need your love and your compassion, your forgiveness, your understanding. Because they are trying to deal with the chains of their sin. Slaves could walk off the plantation but didn't. We can walk away from sin, but we don't. Jesus freed us from the chains, but we choose to put them back on. Jesus has removed the consequences. Gone. The consequences of sin, the wages of sin is death, but Jesus, by taking our sins upon himself, he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and he removed that consequence. When I die, I praise God, I am saved. When I die, I will go to heaven. I will stand before God. I will, my sins will be on the one side, and God will look, and he'll see that the blood of Christ was applied, and he'll say, I don't know any sins. Welcome in. I don't know if he'll say good and faithful servant, but he'll say welcome. So I am freed from the consequences, the legalistic consequences of sin. And yet, sometimes I sin. Sometimes I stay on the plantation. It's the life that we've known, that bondage to sin, but it is not the life that is meant for us. Now, does that mean, am I saying that we are meant for a life of sinlessness? No, we cannot be sinless. But it's in that journey. It's in the trying. We need to try every day. And yeah, we're going to fail. And sometimes you're going to fail spectacularly. Sometimes you're going to reach down and put those chains of sin back on. But with your pet sins, what I would challenge you to do is not only break them, because that's only the first step. And Jesus does that part. It's the hard part. You ever try to break a piece of metal? Breaking a piece of metal is extremely hard. We have to have tools there. You know, unless you're the rare strong man who can bend iron bars and break iron chains with his bare hands, you know, that's something that's almost impossible for human beings to do. Jesus does that part. See, our part in this is to take those chains and melt them. Leave them on the ground, behind us, away from us. As long as we keep those chains around, as long as we make them a twisted kind of safety net of sin that we go back to, we are still slaves. We're still in bondage. We might not wear the iron, but we're still on the plantation. It's only when we let Jesus lead us, be led by the Holy Spirit, that Spirit of grace, will we be truly free. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, Paul in his letter to the Galatians says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." Now, that sounds, in the King James Version, that language can get a little difficult. And, you know, I've said this before, and I'll say this again. I love using the King James because I think it's one of the best translations, first of all. But secondly, the language makes me study it. It makes me get into it. Because if I don't understand, I gotta study it then to understand it. And then I'm digging into the Word. And that is a huge benefit for me. So what is really Paul saying? The Galatians had a problem. The church in Galatia had a problem. There were a group called Judaizers. And this was a group of Jews who were coming along saying, "Well, hey, it's great that we're going to be Christians. We believe that Jesus is the Messiah and all that. But if you're going to be saved, well, then you got to be a Jew like us, and you got to be circumcised, and you got to follow the right diet, and you got to do all the things that the law, the Mosaic law, says you have to do, or else you're going to suffer the consequences." And Paul comes along and says, "No, no, 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 no. That's not true." Comes across and says, here's what happens. If you walk in the Spirit, you're going to be fighting your sins. You're going to be putting away your chains. Because what happens is your flesh fights with your spirit. Your spirit, once Christ washes it clean, it and the flesh are warring against each other, fight against each other, to the point that you can't do anything to the fullest extent that you want. That's the part where it says, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Because if we were all spirit, we'd be perfect. We would never commit another sin, but we can't, because we're in flesh, and flesh wars against the spirit. We're not in all flesh, because we've been saved. So even though we can commit sins, we can't wholeheartedly fling ourselves back into sin, because there's that part of us that says we know that this is wrong, and we've been changed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we don't want any more of this. So what's the solution? If you're led of the Spirit, then you're not under the law. If you're saved and you've broken those chains, those consequences from the law are gone. They are not there anymore. Will you sin nevermore? No. Because you're weak. You're still in the flesh. When we treat our interaction with God for what it is, a relationship. See, that's why he says walk in the Spirit. That's what that means. It means looking to our relationship with God Almighty. It's at that point that we can take our chains and we can put them away. We can take our chains and put them in the fire and melt them. Are they never going to come back? Well, you might have a pet sin or two that doesn't. You know, I've heard spoken with people who have a testimony that said they're an alcoholic and they have been clean for 30 years, but they're still an alcoholic. But they've been clean for 30 years. They've been able to take that chain and melt it in the fire, and they haven't had to go back to it. They've put away that particular sin. Now, they have other sins, and we, by our very nature, are sinful. But how powerful is it when we're able to say, Lord, I want to rest in this relationship because I believe you when you say these consequences are gone. There are earthly consequences that can result from your sins. But even then, the Lord's going to help you through those, and it's going to be to benefit you. It's going to be for your good and for the good of others. You see, God wants us to walk with him. Adam in the garden walked with God. They had a relationship. That relationship grew, bloomed, and it fed God and Adam. That's why it hurt God so much when Adam sinned. It hurts God today when we sin. And when we as Christians sin, when we turn back, it hurts God so much. But we have a Lord who gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary, to shed his blood so that that blood will cover the accounting book. Is no, for us as Christians, there is the book of life in heaven that our names are written in. But contrary to what the devil would have people think, there is no ledger. God doesn't count your sins and balance them in the scale. He took Jesus' blood and he took all of those account books and he poured that blood all over them. So you blotted out every single line. Every sin you have committed, every sin you will commit, every sin you're committing now has been bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. So what we need to do is accept that gift. Not only as our initial salvation, but we as Christians need to be reminded that that gift is there so that we don't have to go back to our chains as a coping mechanism. We don't have to go back to our chains as a way to deal with life, because when we use coping mechanisms and we talk about dealing with problems and dealing with issues when we're alone, when we are together, when we are with our partner, when we are with our Lord, we can process and deal with those issues as they occur. And we don't need a coping mechanism. We don't need that feeling that comes washing over us from a high of whatever kind. When we trust in our relationship with the Lord, for him to be our provider, we don't have to do things that are not right to make a living, or to gain favor, or to put food on the table. Because God's going to be our provider. One of the things that I want to leave you with is this. We're going to sin. But the question is, are you going to live your life on the devil's plantation, a slave to him, even though Christ has bought your price, has paid your price, even though Christ has freed you from consequences, and you're free to walk off at any time? Are you going to sit there and be stuck in the devil's big house? Or are you going to do your sinning and repenting on down the road with the Lord? I'm John A. Guffey. For FMG Live, join us next week when we'll be interviewing Aaron Smith. Everyone, have a great night.